So let's see if you're in agreement with this. Would you say it with me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That sounds great. Before I read the scripture here, I just want to make one announcement because it fits in with the message today, and I wanted people to be able to hear it. That is, the last couple of weeks' messages, what must I do to be saved? And then last week, fear God and keep his commandments. And then today I wanted to share one third, another message there, kind of like a little three-part series. And it's a call to return to the Lord and a call to prayer. And I want to invite everyone who can, and maybe you're streaming, to come this Saturday, if you're able, to the sanctuary here. I'm going to open up, God willing, from noon to one to pray. That's going to be our agenda, to come and seek the Lord and pray, to just humble ourselves. And if you can't join us physically, I understand, but maybe you can devote a little time on Saturday to prayer, that we could still join together in prayer in one accord, and you can just come, make yourself comfortable there on the pew. You can pray at the altar if you like. Sometimes I've done it all. Sometimes I kneel, sometimes I'm sitting, sometimes I'm pacing back and forth, like all over the place, wearing a hole in the carpet. but just however you want to seek the Lord, let's just come and call out to him for not only ourselves, for his people, but for our country and just for God to move. I really believe this is a season that God is moving. In fact, there's a website in the bulletin called thereturn.org. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn has sensed this call. He believes a critical hour, and he's going to be there, I believe, in Washington, D.C. Franklin Graham, same thing, a prayer gathering there in Washington, D.C., Pastor Carter Conlon from Times Square Church is actually going back somewhere in the first few days of October to pray at Plymouth Rock, where the pilgrims landed. And he said, I'm going to pray. That's the agenda. And I want to just one by one repent of our sins and what we have done with the freedoms that God has granted us. So it's a call to prayer. So please, let's just join together in this season and call on the Lord. But let's call on him in faith. One main truth that God emphasizes throughout Scripture is this. We would call it sowing and reaping. Maybe some would call it planting and harvesting. And that truth applies to individuals, but it also applies to nations. And I want to give you a scripture here if you want to write it down in Galatians first. This one is relevant to individuals, and then we'll read the scripture in Hosea 4. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." So it's just a principle in the Bible. We see it in nature. We plant and we harvest. We plant and we harvest. And I'm thankful that we can plant good seeds and reap a good harvest. And I'm also thankful that I just believe this for myself. I believe God didn't give me all the bad crop that could have come my way from the seeds I planted. And I'm thankful in his mercy. Now, there's still the principle there, but I'm thankful when we repent and come to the Lord, he may choose to put some Holy Spirit weed kill down and knock out. Thank God I haven't reaped all that I've sown. But thank God for all the good that he has brought into my life. I'm just thankful for God's goodness. Here in Hosea chapter 4, the Bible says this, beginning of verse 1. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land." It's like a court setting. God does this throughout the prophets. You can see it as you read through. And here is the charge he brings against them. Again, verse 1. "There is no truth or mercy." That's the Hebrew word for covenant loyalty or covenant love. There's no truth and no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. That is the key right there. is because when there's no knowledge of God, when people do not know God, then you're not going to know truth and mercy because he is the source. And then the fruit that comes out of that, the bad fruit, verse 2, that there's swearing, there's lying, killing, stealing, committing adultery. They break all restraint. It's like, I'll do whatever I want, no restraints on me, with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Verse 3, therefore, because of that, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea will be taken away. It's like such a language that even the nature of that area is affected if the people just continue on in those type of sins. And then one scripture in chapter 8, verse 7 says this, chapter 8, verse 7 says, they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no bud, it shall never produce a meal. If it should produce, aliens would swallow it up. So do you see how even the land can be affected by the sins of the majority of the people? See, God gave Israel freedom. He freed them from slavery in Egypt after 400 years. He led them into a land that he had promised them. But they took the freedom that God had granted them, and instead of using their freedoms to serve God and serve one another, they used their freedom to sin. And they committed all kind of just wickedness. In fact, if you read through the scriptures, all through those prophetic books, here's what it came down to. The root of it all was that the people had forsaken God and rejected his word. That's the key. When the people of God, when they just said, we are forsaking the Lord, we're not having anything, we reject his word, we're going to do what we want, then they're starting to sow those bad seeds. And throughout, I'm telling you, generations after generation, God loved his people. He didn't give up on them. And he kept sending prophets to them, sending prophets like Hosea. And they would warn the people, if you continue on in this path of neglecting God, rejecting his truth, there are going to be consequences that you're going to eventually face. But if you will return to the Lord, you can have mercy. Over and over again, warnings mixed with hope. Warnings mixed with hope. And he would offer that. He would say, if you would just come back, I'll renew you. We opened that scripture, the service this morning with that scripture in Joel. He said, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with mourning, weeping. Rend your heart and not your garment. But then if you do that, I'll bless you. I'll restore the years that the locusts have eaten and consumed. I can bless you in every way, but you just got to be willing to come to me my way. And so we see the prophetic warnings here, and the Bible says this in chapter 5, if you turn there, Hosea chapter 5, the last verse, and then just reading right into chapter 6, Hosea chapter 5 and verse 15, because it's all written as a letter together, and the Bible says this, God says, I will return again to my place. He said, okay, I'm going to back off till my people, till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. We don't have to wait for something to happen to turn to the Lord. But there are times when something does cause, God gets our attention. Maybe I could say it that way. And he says, all right, I'll back off. But when you're in affliction, then you're going to seek me. That word earnestly seek means, like if you misplace your phone or your wallet or whatever, it means you're on a search and you're on a mission and nothing is going to stop you until you get it back. That's the idea of this Hebrew word. We're coming after God and we're not stopping short. And then he goes into chapter 6, verse 1, and it's like the people together are saying, come. And let us return to the Lord. Notice that link between seeking God and returning. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He's stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will raise us up. There's something about that third day. I think I remember reading something in the New Testament about that third day being special too. Verse 3, Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. See, again, that was the problem. They didn't know God. So he said, let's pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain that produces fruit and its blessing, like the latter rain and the former rain to the earth. We're in that season. I said this earlier in the service. I'll mention it for those who are listening. We're in a season between the fall feasts of the Lord, between the Feast of Trumpets, which is a call to repentance. It's a call to return to the Lord, and the Day of Atonement. The Jewish people call these days the Days of Awe, A-W-E. And it's an opportunity for us to come to the Lord and to seek Him and to renew our own walk with the Lord. And so here's the message today is really taken from Hosea 6:1, just simply this, let's return to the Lord. Let's return to the Lord. Thank God He allows U-turns if we're going in the wrong direction. Let's return to the Lord. It's a season of return, a season of repentance, a season of renewing. And the phrase there, let us, I just shortened it because I really believe, first of all, let's make sure we're right with God. Let's make sure that there's nothing between our heart and God's. Let's make sure that we're not in that place of where I was closer to God years ago or even months ago, whatever it may have been. But I've kind of, look, let's come back. Let's come back. Let's get close to the Lord. Let's seek Him. Not only as individuals, I believe this is something we can do that we can seek to encourage and inspire others to do the same thing. Let us, it's corporate, so let us return to the Lord. Thank God that we can be a godly influence, but let's lead by our example. We don't accomplish anything worthwhile in the long term by going out preaching at others and telling you're coming across like we're better than someone. Let's just live it out ourselves and seek to lead by our example and then to encourage others to come along to seek the Lord as well. Let's return to the Lord. Would you say that with me? Let's return to the Lord. Isaiah chapter 4. I want to show you just a few verses. I'm sorry, Hosea. Sorry, I'll stay right here. Hosea chapter 4. Show you a few verses of some of the specific sins of the people. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 7. The Lord says, the scripture says here, they have dealt treacherously with the Lord, for they have been, I'm sorry, let me back up. And get in the right chapter. Chapter 4, and the Bible says, verse 7, the more they increased, the more prosperous they were, the more they sinned against me. Isn't that something? See, that was a danger from the start. God said to the people in Deuteronomy, He said, when you go in and you inherit this land and you get into houses you didn't build and you start reaping vineyards that you didn't plant, and you've eaten and you're full, then beware so that your heart doesn't get lifted up and you say, I did all this for myself. I did this. I'm the one who brought this. He said, don't forget, I'm the one who gave you the ability to get that wealth. So we have to be wise here. But one of the problems was with Israel in that day was they took their prosperity and instead of using it in the right way, they used it to sin. Verse 10, still right there in Hosea chapter 4, verse 10, says this, they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. So not only did they have prosperity, but they had, the scripture says here, there was harlotry. And it says again, they eat, they don't have enough, because they commit harlotry. There's immorality there. Then he says one more in this chapter, verse 12. Verse 12, he says, my people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them. For the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray, and they played the harlot against their God. What that means is when we make anything a god in place of God, that is an idol, and it's like committing spiritual unfaithfulness or adultery against the Lord if we're in covenant with Him. So there was prosperity, and there was immorality, and there was idolatry, but they took all of that and misused it. Now, just think about that a second. Prosperity, immorality, idolatry. We, as a people, have been blessed with great freedom. We have been blessed with great prosperity. Have we taken the blessing of God and made idols? Let me read you a couple more. The Bible says this in chapter 7 and verse 10. Hosea chapter 7, verse 10. The Bible says that the pride of Israel testifies to his face, but they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. You see the link again between returning and seeking the Lord? And it's pride. The people had grown proud, and as a result, they have grown complacent. I think it's a legitimate question to ask ourselves, have I grown complacent? Am I complacent in my walk with the Lord? Have we as a people, have we grown complacent? Have we grown proud? Have we taken the very blessings of God, and like Israel, we've used them to sin rather than serve? And if that's the case, even on an individual basis, God offers mercy. Let's return to the Lord. Thank God. Let's return to the Lord. You don't have to get right up in somebody's face there, all right? But if you're near somebody, maybe would you just look at them and let's just do it together. Would you just tell them, let's return to the Lord. God is calling us. He's calling us to himself because he loves us. The Lord loves us. He says in this book of Hosea and other places, he said, how can I give you up? He said, my heart churns within me. His heart was heavy and broken because his people had forsaken him and gone out and committed idolatry and everything else. That's the heart. It's the broken heart of a father with a wayward son or daughter. It's the broken heart of one who is in covenant love with someone, and they have taken that love and given it to someone else. Because that's what happened with Hosea. His wife committed adultery against him. And God said, just like she's done to you, that's what my people have done to me. And so he gave him kind of like that life message. I want to just share two truths this morning of just why we should return to the Lord. Two blessings. The Lord knows there are more than two, but if you want to write them down, let's return to the Lord. I want to give you that scriptural basis for doing this and then just close. Just stay right here in Hosea, and then I'll close with a few verses in the last book of the Bible, Revelation. So Hosea chapter 3, two reasons to return to the Lord. Let's return to the Lord. Number one, for his goodness. We return to the Lord for his goodness. You know, the Bible says in the New Testament that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. When we come to that place where we realize I've sinned against a holy God and I do deserve punishment, the law was already established and I broke it, and the punishment for my sin is separation from God forever. But he loved me so much that he willingly suffered and died. Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins. Every wrong thing I've ever done or will do, Jesus paid it all. And that includes every one of us. He didn't just die physically. He experienced that hell of separation from his Father, and he cried out all through the Gospels. He's beaten, tortured, has the beard ripped from his face, a crown of thorns pressed on his head. Isaiah prophesied he wouldn't look human from the beating he took. But there's no mention that he ever, you know, was crying or wanted mercy. I'm sure he did. But the scripture says on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is a cry that we will never have to cry if we know Jesus. He will never leave us nor forsake us. In Hosea chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says this, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king or prince, because they were going to go into exile. See, sadly, Israel did not heed the warnings of God through his prophets, and the nation was destroyed. But he said, after that time, they'll go without sacrifice, the sacred pillar, without the ephod or the teraphim. Even the temple was going to be abandoned. Verse 5, though, says, afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek. Notice it again. Return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. That's spoken prophetically of the Messiah. And they shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. That word fear, again, it can mean to frighten. It can literally mean to tremble. But if you were here last week, I share with you that it can also mean to be in awe of. And so when Israel realizes that God has been so good to us, and he didn't give up on us even after thousands of years in exile, and when the prophet said when they come back, they're actually going to come back trembling at the goodness of God and say, he was so good. I don't even know. Have you ever had something? We've had things scare us to the point of trembling, but have you ever had some news come to you or something so exciting you felt like you were trembling? It was good. It was a blessing. That's the way it's going to be for the nation of Israel, and that's the way it can be for us when we come back to the Lord. Some of you, maybe you have a testimony like the one who is referred to as the prodigal son. Well, he had two prodigals, actually. But the one who went out and ended up in the pig pen, when he came back, he experienced that goodness. His heart was right. And then the father said, oh, no, we're going to celebrate. You're not coming back like a slave. You're coming back as a son. And you bring that best calf. You get the calf. You get the robe. You put sandals on his feet. His days of mourning are over. He's coming back into fellowship with me. And we're going to celebrate. But his heart was right. He didn't come back demanding. He came back humble. And when we come to the Lord that way, not demanding, but humble and in gratitude and seek God, then he pours out goodness on us because he's a good God. So let's return to the Lord. So one reason we return is for his goodness. And brothers and sisters, if we could just pause a moment and focus on how Jesus demonstrated God's love for us there on the cross. And if we believe that, I really believe that it will have a drawing effect. Don't you want to be close to someone who blesses you? Don't you want to be close to someone who's good to you? And they're good to you. It's like you want to be around that person. Even if it's just words, they're encouraging you all the time. They're, you know, telling you something good or whatever. You just want to be around them. It's the same way with God. If we will open up our ears and our heart to his word and his truth, it will draw us to him because gratitude inspires obedience. We realize how good God has been. Man, I want to live right. I fall short as much as anyone else, but my heart is there. I want to please God. I want to do what's right because he's been so good to me. So let's return to the Lord for his goodness and then second, for his blessing. So return for his goodness and then return for his blessing. God is a good God. He's a good father and he wants to bless his people. It only becomes a problem if we substitute the blessing for the blesser. And we want the gift more than we want the giver, then it becomes idolatry. That's the issue. That's the problem. The last chapter of this book, Hosea chapter 14, there's just the first section here. Hosea chapter 14, verse 1. O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you. In other words, some translations actually say, take words of repentance. So it's like coming to the Lord with confession. He says, take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all my iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. We're going to return, we're going to have words of repentance, and then we're going to praise you for your goodness and receive. So return, but then receive. Then he says this in verse 4. As God is basically responding to them, Hosea 14, 4, God says, I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely. There's not going to be any hindrance, no strings attached. Say, if you come to me, the heaven is open on my end, and you're going to enjoy the fullness of my love that I lavish on you. love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him. And then verse 5, he says, I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots like Lebanon. Let me pause there before I read that last one more verse. Because God wants to bless us. He wants to make us fruitful. He said, I'll come to you like the rain. I'm going to make you fruitful spiritually, but I don't want you to keep it to yourself. I want you to expand it and grow and spread out like a tree. God wants to use us. He wants to bless us so that we in turn can be a blessing to others and share the good news and bring them into the family of God too. Because God's heart is for all people. It has been from the start. It will never change. He wants all to come to him and to know him. Verse 6 says, his branches shall spread and his beauty shall be like an olive tree and his fragrance like Lebanon. To be fruitful and blessed and to be blessed because of God's goodness to us. Would you turn to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 1. I'll join you in a second. I want to give you this one last scripture in Malachi on this one for his blessing. But if you just turn to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 1. In the book of Malachi, it's basically a question and answer dialogue between God and his people. Years ago, I actually shared a series of messages on those question and answers where God would say to his people, for example, I've loved you. And then the people would say, how have you loved us? And he would say, you know, back and forth like that. And in one occasion in Malachi chapter 3, the Bible says that God is speaking to his people, and he says, I am the Lord, I change not. And because I don't change, you are not consumed. It's because I'm holy and justice and righteous, but I'm also love and I'm faithful and I'm mercy, and that's why you're still here, because you've been sinning. And the Lord said, return to me and I'll return to you. And if you didn't know the account of Scripture, here's how I picture it in my mind. It's like God is in heaven here and he's saying, return to me and I'll return to you. And then the people are down here on earth and they're saying, in what way shall we return? And then God would say, now, in my thinking, if I didn't know, I've tried to wonder, what is he going to say? Seek me with all your heart. Love me. Worship me. Pray or whatever. But instead, God answers them with a question. Return to me and I'll return to you. In what way do we return? Will a human rob God? Yet you have robbed me. How have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. And he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and you can go ahead and test me on this one. We're not to tempt God, but he said, you can prove me in this. And he says, you bring the tithes into the storehouse, and you watch and see, and I'll open up the windows of heaven, and I'll pour you out such blessing you won't have room for it all. And even other nations are going to call you blessed. But I want you to see, it's not about the money, it's about the heart. It's about coming back to the Lord. God wants to bless us, but he wants us to take his blessings and use it for his purpose and his glory and not just pamper ourselves. So to use it in the right way. Again, it's not the money is not the issue, it's the heart. And when our heart is right, then if God blesses us, we won't make an idol of his blessings, we'll use them in the right way. The Bible says this in Revelation chapter 1. Would you say, let's return to the Lord? Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. Let me get there. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. And God is, the Lord has given this revelation. Revelation means an unveiling. It's the unveiling of Jesus the Messiah. Verse 4 says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And then if you notice verses 5 and 6 here, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. That means he was the first to rise by his own power, not to die again. the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Love these words. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Over in Revelation chapter 2, the first message there, the first message, the first church that Jesus speaks to, he refers back to this, to a vision that John sees. I want you to see this, though. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. He loved us, gave his life for us, and his life's blood cleanses us from all sin. Not only are we forgiven, he says, I'm making you kings and priests to my Father. That we can, you're going to reign with me one day if you know him now. But see, just like our human nature, it seems like we have this tendency to get away from the Lord when things are going all right. So it's good to have those regular reminders, let's return to the Lord, let's return to the Lord. Jesus says this in Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. Revelation chapter 2, verse 3, the Lord is speaking directly to his church. And he says, you've persevered, you have patience, you have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Now you would think God would be happy with that. But brothers and sisters, the Lord is not looking for robots. He does not want outward religious duty. He wants us to love him because he first loved us. And then he wants us to live for him because we love him. So that's why he goes on in that next verse in verse 4 and says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You left that first place love in your life, just between you and God. Was there ever a time in your life when you were closer to the Lord than you are now? The word of the Lord to anyone here today, myself included, is let's return to the Lord. Let's come back to that place of where he's first. In fact, that word is translated best. When I talked about the prodigal son earlier, and it said, bring out the best ring, it's the same Greek word. He says, you've abandoned your best love. You've gotten away, and now it's time to come back. He says, come back. Then he says in verse 5, remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, repent and do the first works. And then here is the warning. Or else I will come to you quickly and move your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Let me give you a little picture here. If I'll get on the other side of this, maybe you can see. In chapter 1, John sees a vision, and he sees seven huge lampstands like candelabras around, and Jesus is walking right in the middle of these seven lampstands that were pictured like encircled around him. And he says at the end of chapter 1 that the lampstands represent the churches. So when the Lord says, if you neglect my love for you and your love for me, I'm going to come and remove my lampstand from its place. Well, where was the place? The lampstand was right there in the presence of the Lord. And he says, if you get away from your love walk with me, then my presence will lift from you and you will lose your effectiveness. You may still be religious. You may still go through the motions. You may still do all the outward acts, but you will not have the light that could have been shining through you if that wasn't hidden under your bushel. We will not sense the presence of God like we could if we're serving because we love him. And we love him because he first loved us. Let's return to the Lord. If the worship team wants to come back up, sadly, the nation of Judah had the example of Israel, and they did not learn from their example, and as a result, they suffered the same defeat. It was about 130-something years later, but the same thing happened. The Assyrians destroyed Israel, the Babylonians destroyed Judah. Thank God, a prophet by the name of Jonah He was reluctant, but God has his ways of working on us and drawing us back. He did it in love. He says, I care about these people. I love them. And I want them to know I love them. And so here he goes. 40 days and you're all going down. No mercy, no hope. Like God offered Israel. But they believed God, it says. And they humbled themselves and repented. They turned to the Lord and they were spared. The people of God refused and they were. There is hope today. We can turn to the Lord. But I really believe that we could be at a very critical point. That if we're in a season, maybe you sense it in your own heart. If we miss the Lord now and refuse to really come back to Him, I don't think it's going to be good for us. One interesting thing that Rabbi Jonathan Kahn brings out is when the Babylonians attacked Jerusalem there, it was 605 BC. And the city was destroyed. It was destroyed in 586, 19 years later. And he sees a type here, like a correlation between 9/11 and our own country and the warnings that have come. He just believes, too, that he believes that we could be at that place. That's why he's calling for prayer, saying, let's return. Let's return to the Lord. We don't want to go down that path. Let's just get right with the Lord. And we can't make anyone else, but let the church arise. Let the church wake up and come and be right with the Lord. And then the Lord use us to reach the lost who don't know Him. So there is hope today, but we must come to the Lord His way. You are loved. You're loved. Let's return to the Lord. Can we stand together?